The weather in Central Ohio just got better, so why shouldn't your loan rate? CME Federal Credit Union wants to try to beat your current loan rate by 2% on autos and toys. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days on car loans and no payments for 60 days on motorcycles, boats, and more. With car rates as low as 4.99% APR and toy rates starting at 6.5% APR, it's the perfect time to save. Apply today at cmefcu.org.
Terms apply. Minimum floor rates, 4.99% APR cars, 6.50% APR other vehicles. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge day of Scottish Cup action. Four big ties get us underway at 3 o'clock with all Premiership ties at Fir Park and Tynecastle. Aaron Ramsey looks set for his first Rangers start when they head to Annan later. And Celtic are looking to continue their good cup run form tomorrow as Raith Rovers come to visit. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me this afternoon is Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
We are on shock watch concerning those teams whose form is as bad as the weather. It never rains, but it pours for Aberdeen. They've dropped to 9th in the Premiership, a Scottish Cup exit at Motherwell, and that could end their season, maybe even end Stephen Glass's time at Pittodrie. Jim Goodwin is as safe as houses at St Mirren, but Kelty Hearts represent a potential banana skin. Likewise, Partick Thistle are a banana skin for Dundee United at Fir Hill, and Aaron Ramsey's at Annan. Things you never thought you'd hear yourself say.
I do love the Scottish Cup, and especially this round. It starts to feel a wee bit more real at this round, and you know, plenty of big ties in there, plenty of opportunity for teams to get back on track. Motherwell and Aberdeen, obviously one of those looking to put things right after some disappointing results. Kelty Hearts, Kevin Thompson's rise, I wonder if he has it, or his team has it in them to beat St Mirren. But Jim Goodwin, St Mirren going along quite well, and my old club Dundee United at Partick Thistle will be keen to keep an eye on that to see how they progress.
Yeah, like Mark, it was one tournament I used to love as a player and a manager, Scottish Cup. The one thing you wanted to do was get yourself a victory, get yourself into the hat, and look forward to the draw, Gordon. An exciting draw. Lot of very, very good and tough games coming up this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Wilson, we are in the midst of such a hotly contested title race. It's all that's been on everyone's mind in this city, talking about the points gap and it getting cut, and temporarily during games it's changing and everyone's got an eye on it. Does this come as a welcome break amidst all that madness?
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it, you know, because you're thrust into that pressure that, you know, there is no room for slipping up. But the Scottish Cup at this period was always a welcome distraction for me. And if you get an easier tie, like Rangers and Celtic have got on paper, then it's the opportunity for fringe players like I was myself to come in sometimes to the team. So it's a great round, great to be involved in. And for some of the smaller teams, it's the chance to have a go at the big boys. Kelty Hearts today, those players, where they've came from. Look at St Mirren, it's exactly where they want to be. It's a great opportunity for them.
Fringe players like Mark Wilson and Aaron Ramsey, things you never thought you would say.
Yeah, well, we've got a lot in common.
Hugh Keevans, the great thing about our cup though is everyone does still give it maximum respect. It takes maximum importance. Celtic and Rangers fans want to win it. They want to win everything that they're in. And then the same goes for the so-called smaller teams. We know our league is set up in such a way at the moment that realistically only two teams are going to win it. And so for the rest, this is where they start their season dreaming.
Yeah, exactly. Look at the recent history of the competition. St Johnstone won it last season. You know, you can find on the trophy Inverness Cali Thistle. You can find Dundee United. So it is a great chance for clubs to grab the glory. They're odds against, but that's what the whole thing is supposed to be about anyway. It's possibly the case that either Celtic or Rangers will win the Scottish Cup and everything else, but the cup is where you go to dream.
Yeah, it's a special competition, Mark, isn't it? I like that. When other leagues around the world might not care as much about their big domestic cup competition, we do, and it shows, I think.
That's what I love about the Scottish Cup, because it kind of annoys me, especially in England, how other teams have started playing, you know, almost reserve sides in this, but our teams take it seriously. And for the teams out with Celtic and Rangers, it's a realistic opportunity for European football. You know, it's a chance to dream. And it's a gateway to more money for them. That prestige is still there with our competition, and I've no doubt every player wants to be involved in that last Saturday where the Scottish Cup is in May. It's a great occasion to be involved in, but you have to get through these rounds on a day like today where the rain's coming sideways and it's windy. You know, May looks a far cry off, but it's certainly worth rolling up the sleeves for.
Okay, let's go around the grounds and get team news then. We've got some all Premiership ties. Let's start there. Fir Park is the venue for Motherwell against Aberdeen. David Friel has the teams.
Big game, Gordon, and the day is off to a bit of a surprise start with former Motherwell goalkeeper Craig Sampson, who retired from playing over 3 years ago, named on the bench for Aberdeen. He was Jack Ross's goalie coach at Hibs. He recently left Easter Road after Sean Maloney's arrival. I'm led to believe Sampson had agreed to help out with the goalie coach in Aberdeen just in the last few days, but he's now actually been registered in an emergency after Joe Lewis and young Tom Ritchie were ruled out. So Gary Woods will start the game, but 37-year-old Sampson will provide cover off the bench alongside 17-year-old Jamie Shingler. Sampson's last game was for St Mirren against Dundee in November 2018, so it would be amazing if we see him on the pitch today. Obviously, it's a disruption Stephen Glass could have done without for a Scottish Cup tie that, you know, many think could be defining for his reign, as Hugh said. His future might be in the line here, and there's going to be 2,000 away fans who expect a victory. Aberdeen won 4 out of 5 before the winter break, but struggled since the restart, winning just once against Edinburgh City in the Scottish Cup. You look at the Premiership table, between 4th and 10th, it's so congested, but Aberdeen are now 9th, Gordon, and that is unacceptable for a club of that size. Stephen Glass has made two changes from the midweek defeat to Celtic. Calvin Ramsey and Dylan McGeek drop out, and Adam Montgomery and Thunzu Ojo come in. I'll just go through the Aberdeen team first. It's Gary Woods in goals. It looks like a back four: Ross McCrory, Declan Gallagher, David Bates and Johnny Hayes. Midfield two: Scott Brown and Lewis Ferguson, with Vicente Bezawan, Thunzu Ojo and Adam Montgomery just in behind Christian Ramirez. Subs for Aberdeen, as I said, are Samson, Shingler, McKenzie, Jett, McGeek, Jenks, Ramsey, Barron and Kennedy. For Motherwell, goes without saying, it's another huge game, but maybe playing Aberdeen is another good Scottish Cup omen for them. You know, Motherwell knocked out Morton in the last round, just like they did in their way to winning the Cup in 1991. And if you look back, Aberdeen were also beating the road to Hampden that year, so maybe history is repeating itself. Graeme Alexander will definitely hope so, but he said they haven't really been in good form since winter break either. There's no doubt Motherwell are badly missing Tony Watt's goals, you know, any team would, but Kevin Van Veen does have 3 goals against Aberdeen this season, with Motherwell winning both those previous meetings 2-0. Alexander's made 4 changes from the midweek defeat at Tannadice. Van Veen, Jake Carroll, Mark Cahara and Connor Shields all come in for Nathan McGinley, Callum Slattery, Jordan Roberts and Kane Willery. So it looks like a 4-3-3 for Motherwell. Liam Kelly in goals, Beavis Mugabe, Sondre Solholm, Johanny O'Hara and Jake Carroll at the back. Midfield 3 of Mark Cahara, Liam Donnelly and Sean Goss, with Joe Efford, Kevin Van Veen and Connor Shields up front. Now Motherwell have made, you know, they've made good use of the new subs rule. They've actually named 11 subs, so I'll run through these as well. Fox, O'Donnell, Lamy, Woolery, Shaw, Slattery, Amalusa, Cornelius, Grimshaw, Tierney and Roberts. Both teams are allowed to use 5 during normal time, plus an extra one, plus potentially another 2 concussion subs as well, so they could use up to 8 subs each in this tie. And the referee Fir Park is Greg Aitken.
Gordon Dales is trying to get his head around that. We'll deal with the substitutions a bit later on. That's not the headline news at the moment. Is this where cup football, David, becomes an extra burden of pressure? For some teams it can be described as a welcome break, but if you're Aberdeen, let's lay out some hypothetical scenarios here. If you're Aberdeen, you go to Fir Park in the cup and you get knocked out. If you're third in the table and you're flying and you get knocked out, fans are disappointed, but they probably shrug their shoulders after a few hours and get on with it. However, if you go out of the cup today on the back of difficult league form, that's when the pressure's really on, and it can be double-edged, can't it?
Yeah, I don't think this is a welcome break for Aberdeen at all. I think it's probably one of the last places they want to be today. You know, as I said, there's going to be 2,000 packed behind the goal away to my right, and Aberdeen are going to get changed in that stand as well. So if things don't go well, it's probably not going to be very nice for the players, and I think Stephen Glass is under huge pressure today. You know, I know Dave Cormack's due in the country, if not today, during the week, I think. And if Aberdeen's form doesn't pick up and they don't start getting results, then I think Stephen Glass is under pressure. I think he knows that as well. They've obviously got a huge midweek game against St Johnstone coming up as well, but he could really do with a win going into the quarterfinals today. But I was here the last time these two teams played. Motherwell won 2-0 that day. They also won 2-0 at Pittodrie, and I fancy the home side today, Gordon, to be honest with you.
Yeah, Motherwell not in great form either, constantly changing the team. Another 4 changes today, a bench full of players that otherwise, you know, can find themselves in the starting 11. So perhaps a bit of inconsistency on that front. Let's keep going around the grounds though. That's a cracker, all Premiership tie as is Hearts against Livingston. Dave Galloway's there.
Thank you, Gordon. Well, Hearts fans vented their frustration following the midweek home loss to Dundee, which followed a hammering by Rangers. But the team has the chance to turn those jeers into cheers as they target a third cup final in three seasons. Certainly, the feeling in the Jambos dressing room is that they really owe the supporters, Robbie Nielsen and themselves, a good performance today. Livingston boss Davy Martindale feels his men come here with no pressure at all and nothing to lose, and perhaps is playing some mind games with saying his team's task this afternoon will be even tougher because of Hearts' aforementioned defeat by Dundee on Wednesday evening. History is not on Livy's side in this particular fixture. They haven't won at Tynecastle since May 2002. They'll be confident heading into this game, though, after beating Aberdeen and drawing with Ross County in the previous two matches. Let's take a look at the teams then. For the hosts, three changes. Smith, Devlin and Cochrane replace Moore, Haring and Boyce. Looks like a 3-4-3 for them. Gordon in goals, Suter, Sibbick and Kingsley at the back. Midfield, Smith, Devlin, Beningame and Halliday with Mackay, Sims and Cochrane up front. Substitutes, Stewart, Haring, McInniff, Woodburn, Boyce, Mackay, Stephen, Atkinson, Moore, Ginelli and Pollock. As for Livingston, just the one change for them, it's Anderson in for Bailey. It's Stryek in goals for them. Across the back, it's Devlin, Fitzwater, Obelai and Penrith. In midfield, Pittman, Holt and Omeonga with the front three of Nublé, Bailey and Forrest. The substitutes for Livy today, Malley, Longridge, Sibbald, Montano, Bailey, Boys, Lewis, McMillan, Shinney, Chukwu Mecca and Kelly. And your match referee here at Tynecastle is Nick Walsh.
So many substitutes. When you hear them all rhymed off, it really hits home how many we've got to choose from this afternoon.
More players on the park now than the Super Bowl tomorrow.
Gordon Dale's promised he's going to stay up late for that one. This is his first year ever. He's going
to
get involved.
I'm delighted I'm not aground just now reading out their teams. Could be here all day.
Yeah, going to be interesting keeping an eye on the subs. So that's your two All Premiership ties, Motherwell Aberdeen and Hearts Livy. Let's go to Paisley, St Mirren against Kelty Hearts. Fraser Wishart, how are you feeling ahead of that one?
Well, I heard you guys talking in the studio earlier about the possibility of this maybe being an upset. It's been a more difficult game, and I think you're right. I think it will be a more difficult game than people think, although on the face of it you could be forgiven for seeing it as a comfortable home win. The Premiership team, of course, St Mirren 6th, 1 point off 4th, 5 wins and a draw in 2022. It's a home game against a League 2 club, but Saints fans will tell you nothing is ever straightforward. And as we all know, Kelty Hearts, they've got a pretty healthy budget, so this game will be trickier than it may seem on paper. And of course, they beat St Johnstone in the last round. The Kelty, a number of players with experience of playing at the top level, Darren Jimison in goals, and spells at Livy and Aki. They've got Jordan Forster and Tam Aware, who were at Dundee and Hibs, and Patrick Thistle and Morton in the Premiership as well. They'll be in the centre-back area. And in midfield, Jamie Bourjonas, ex-Ranger, and Michael Tidzer, who's been around at many clubs. And I think the real danger for St Mirren will be up front. Joe Cardle, he's been around for a long time, many clubs. We know he's a goal-scoring winger. And Nathan Austin, of course, is the top scorer, and 32 goals between them from those two this season. But that said, St Mirren must come in with real confidence. They're on that great run, and if they hadn't lost a late injury time goal through a mistake at the back against Motherwell recently, it'd be 6 wins out of 6. And new signings Alec Greave, Jordan Jones seem to have settled quickly. Kelty's back, he's fully fit and looking lively. And the change of formation that Jim Goodwin has had back to a 4-2-3-1 has certainly worked a bit of pace in the team nowadays. But like everywhere, blustery, wet, pitch in decent condition, but a wee bit damp in places. And I hope that doesn't ruin this game. It has a look of being a really good game with a few goals in it. For St Mirren, not surprisingly, they go with the same team that beat St Johnstone midweek. Jack Anick is in goals. Marcus Fraser, Joe Shaughnessy, Charles Dunn and Richard Tate at the back. The sitting two, Alan Power and Alex Gogic, with Greg Kilty, Connor Ronan and Jordan Jones behind Alex Greave up front. Only 9 subs, only in inverted commas, today. Dean Lyonis, Peter Urminski, Conor McCarthy, Mark Miller, Scott Tanzer, Ryan Flynn, Ethan Erahon, Jay Henderson and Lee Irwin. For Kelty Hearts, they've made 3 changes. Dan Finlayson, who's been playing fullback for them, is on loan from St Mirren, so can't play. Out go Hooper and Aguaman. In come Forster, Philip and Austin. Darren Jimison's in goals. Back four, Andy Black, Jordan Forster, Tom Aware and Kieran Nguyenwa. In midfield, Ross Phillip, Michael Tidzer and Jamie Bourjonas. With up front, Callum Higginbotham, Nathan Austin and Joe Cardle. Only 6 subs, Josh Donaldson, Thomas Riley, Robbie McNabb, Wattie Biabi, Alfredo Aguaman and Scott Cameron. And the referee today in St Mirren is Andrew Dallas.
Yes, looking forward to that that one. St Mirren against Kelty Hearts. Let's go to Firhill. Partick Thistle against Dundee United. Roger Hannah is there.
Yeah, Hugh Keevan started the show, Gordon, by saying you're in shock watch. Well, Hugh, nip along the road and see this Firhill surface, because it is a shocker. There's huge swathes of mud on either side, one particularly down in front of me here in the Jackie Husband stand. It is not a good surface at all. It's showing all the telltale signs of the wintry weather, the overuse with Queen's Park sharing Firhill with the Jags this season. Hopefully it won't diminish the fifth round excitement as Ian McCall takes on one of his former clubs. I was at this fixture, this cup fixture for Super Scoreboard a year ago. Thistle was so unlucky up at Tannadice. Scott Tiffany had them into a deserved lead before Lawrence Shanklin's late equaliser and then an injury time winner from Nicky Clark. And Ian McCall would love to gain a mark of revenge against his old team this afternoon for that cup defeat. Incredibly, 10 of the last 11 meetings between these sides, I've seen both teams score, so we are expecting plenty of goal mouth activity among the mud here this afternoon. And that feeling's probably enhanced. Look at Tony Watt, first goal for Dundee United in midweek, much to the annoyance of Motherwell chief executive and friend of the show, Alan Burrows. And as that was happening up in Inverness, big Brian Graham was getting a hat trick for the Jags in that 3-3 draw with Cali Thistle to show Partick Thistle fans there is life after Zach Rudden. Interestingly enough, Gordon, the man who arrived here from Dundee as Zach Rudden went the other way, Alec Jakubiak, he is called up today to partner Graham in attack. So Thistle will believe they can get a result. The game finishes in some way here today and Thistle will fancy their chances. I'll give you their team first. It's Jamie Sneddon in goal, a back four, Kieran McKenna, Lewis Mayo, Kevin Holt and Stephen Hendry. Midfield, the skipper Ross Docherty, Robbie Crawford and Stuart Bannigan, and up top, Scott Tiffany, Brian Graham and Alec Jakubiak. Substitutes only 7, but they do include Andy Firth, signed on loan, the goalkeeper from Rangers this morning. He's in because young Mason McCready, the backup, he's cup tied after playing for Gala in the Scottish Cup early rounds. So it's Firth, Turner, Smith, Bell, Murray, McIver and 17-year-old Ben Stanway. I actually know his father Gary, so I'll be delighted if young Ben get on this afternoon. As for the D United, they're along usual lines. They've been going very well, fourth now in the Premiership after that midweek win against Motherwell, and unsurprisingly unchanged is Benji Sigurdsson goal. Back three is Ryan Edwards, Callum Butcher and Ross Graham. Across the middle, Liam Smith, Ian Harkes, Kevin McDonald, Dylan Levitt and Ilmari Niskanen. And up top, Mark McNulty and Tony Watt. 11 subs for United as well, I'm afraid, gents. Eriksen, Clark, Akinola, McMahon, Mikkelsen, Nielsen, Mochrie, McLeod, Moore, Cudjoe and Mulgrew. The referee is John Beaton. And United have won the last 4 Scottish Cup meetings with the Jags. Thistle's last win in this competition, a replay, February 1960, almost 62 years to the day.
Hugh Keevans was only 25 on that day as well, so looking forward to that one. A fantastic card of cup action, all Premiership ties at Tynecastle and Fir Park, and the others equally as fascinating in their own way. And it doesn't stop there, brilliant games tomorrow and even Monday night as well. So you're up to speed, we've given you the team news. As always at this stage on a Saturday, we get all the guys involved. We'll take a look at some of the other big talking points and we'll do that next.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Gordon Diel are in the studio. We've got the top team out and about because the Scottish Cup fifth round is here and it promises to be a cracker. Hearts Livy, Motherwell, Aberdeen, Partick Thistle, Dundee United and St Mirren Kelty at 3 o'clock. Annan Rangers at 5:30. Are both Hibs, Celtic Wraith tomorrow. And even Peterhead Dundee on Sunday. It doesn't even stop there. We've got games in the Championship today, a couple of them. Games down the league, Six Nations, if that's your thing. Albeit it's not got off to a particularly good start in Cardiff, Scotland losing 6-0 at the moment. So I'll keep you up to speed on that. Let's go back around the ground. Roger Hannah, we were discussing last night about the importance of the Scottish Cup and what it means in the midst of a title race for Celtic and Rangers. What it means for the other clubs as well, because there's that added incentive of easier progress in Europe and the cash that would come with it. So What does it mean to you as far as all these teams would be concerned?
Well, listen, you say yourself often enough, Gordon, we tend to sometimes in the show look at football through the Old Firm prism, so I'll address the Old Firm first. For Celtic, who start tomorrow against Raith Rovers, the Scottish Cup could conceivably be part of a treble. For Rangers, who go to Annan at 5:30, the Scottish Cup could conceivably be a first trophy for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. It could be part of a double for Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, and it could be a first Scottish Cup for 13 years for Rangers. It's almost beyond belief that Rangers haven't won this trophy for 13 years. They've only been to one final since then, when they lost to Hibs 6 years ago. They will be desperate to make an impact in the competition. And yes, we all know, because of the Champions League group stage prize, a 30 or 40 million at the end of the season, we know where the priorities lie. But the Scottish Cup will be very, very high up the agenda for both teams.
Yeah, I mean, Fraser Wishart, we said it earlier, that is the beauty of it here. No one takes their foot off the gas, really, in the Scottish Cup. The expectation on Celtic and Rangers to go and win it will be through the roof. But for similar and different reasons, if that makes any sense. You know, Rodgers outlined the difference. Rangers fans just desperate for some cup success after, you know, winning the league last season. That's maybe the next thing to tick off.
Yeah, and they were criticised during that period as well under Steven Gerrard, who didn't really compete in the Cups at all. He'd got one Cup final and they lost to Celtic, and they should have won. They played really well that day, but knocked out in a few quarter finals, you know, as well, and won at home. So there's a kind of poor record the Rangers have had in the Cup competitions in recent seasons, particularly the Scottish Cup. And I think you guys covered it earlier on, you know, when you're looking at St Mirren, for example, their best chance of winning a trophy is the Cup. And when you're a St Mirren supporter, or you're a Motherwell supporter, you win the Cup and you win trophies very rarely, and those players that do are just thought of throughout the team's history, throughout the club's history. They're put up in walls, there's murals, etc. Fans remember them because it happens so rarely, and it's a huge occasion for smaller clubs when they get to the latter stages of the Cup. So I think that's why our teams take it seriously. I mean, Jim Goodwin at the tail end of sort of six games, very, very close together, hasn't changed his team. He hasn't rotated, you know. And we do look at England, different world down there. But finishing fourth in their table is much better than finishing fifth and winning the Cup. That's the reality of it all, because fourth gets you to the Champions League. And for the clubs down below, you know, winning the Cup and getting relegated is no good, because they just want to stay in the league. It's different up here, and I'm glad that our managers from top to bottom really take our Cup competition seriously, because they always select strong teams.
And having said that, David Fielder now actually is that extra incentive for clubs. If you win the Scottish Cup, you go straight into the playoff round for the Europa League group stages. At that point, you're either looking at what would be a sensational entry to the Europa League group stages, or you drop in to the Conference League group stages. So if you are today and you're St Mirren, or you're Dundee United or Motherwell, not only do you get that, you know, once in a lifetime for some experience of winning the Scottish Cup, you could be £3 million better off, which is more money than you get for winning the top flight.
Yeah, if one of those clubs sold a player for £3 million, Gordon, everybody would be talking about how great it is for the finances. And I was so disappointed for St Johnstone last season, who UEFA seemed to kind of snatch it away in the last minute, because I think if you looked at access lists all through last season, which I did because I had to kind of look at stats like that, it looked as if St Johnstone or the winners of the Scottish Cup were going to get that sort of £3 million reward. It didn't happen, but it looks as if it will happen this season, and yeah, it's huge. And also, I mean, I'm watching two teams today, Motherwell and Aberdeen. You know, how big it would be for them just to get their hands on a trophy. You know, Motherwell, I spoke earlier on, 1991, but Aberdeen haven't won this cup since 1990. And if you look back, I mean, I grew up in the 80s, Gordon, and Aberdeen were synonymous with winning trophies in the Scottish Cup and everything, and they've just not done it, you know, in almost over three decades now. So I think it's huge financially, but I also think it's huge for so many clubs, even the two capital clubs as well, to go and get something, either make history or something tangible to show your progress as a team. If you take Hearts, for example, this season.
Yeah, and the thing, Roger Hanna, is I'm not sure you even have to separate it. When would the last time be that both Celtic and Rangers would be, you know, deep into February, both feeling good about themselves, both believing that they can go and win the league, and then taking that into the Scottish Cup? It's been a long time since we had this type of title race, and you wonder how that impacts the other competitions as well.
Yeah, very much so. Europe as well, you know, one get into the Europa League, as we say, one get into the Conference League on Thursday. So they are fighting on three fronts and deep into February. It's a long, long time since that was the case. And on a list of priorities, yes, as we say, the Championship eclipses everything else, but football's not really a game where you can pick and choose what you win, Gordon. So I think both sides will want to stay in all three of their competitions as long and as deep as they possibly can, because there could be disappointment in another one of the competitions come the end of the season.
David Friel raises a pertinent point about Aberdeen. I mean, Stephen Glass doesn't need any more pressure lumped onto him today than he's already got. But here it comes, Stephen. As David Friel said, 1990, the last time Aberdeen won the Cup. Since then, Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Dundee United, Motherwell, Hibs, St Johnstone, Kilmarnock and Inverness Cali Thistle have all won the Scottish Cup. If you are, or you think of yourself as a truly big club, that's why today's important for Aberdeen. They've got to emerge from the shadows. They think of themselves as arguably Scotland's third or fourth biggest club. Haven't won the league since the mid-80s. Haven't won the Scottish Cup for 32 years. Big clubs do better than that.
Mark Wilson's got two Scottish Cup winners medal and a runners up medal since then. That puts it in perspective.
Two runners up.
Not even two. Listen, get your facts
let's
right.
Just leave
you're
it at
bum,
that.
You're bumming this guy up with two winners medals, right? One, he's not got a winners medal, have you?
Yes.
2011 Scottish Cup.
Yeah. And I scored in the final. No, one of the greatest days of my career.
It was an own goal, but you did play.
It was the greatest strike.
But he's claiming a medal and he was in the squad. He wasn't even on the pitch, sub, and he went, I went,
anyway,
oh, got
it
a medal.
That, means
but
a lot.
Did you physically get the medal?
Yes.
Right, so he's got the medal, that's all I was talking about.
But hold on.
And he did play in the other one.
So I've got an array of Scottish Cup medals, winners and losers.
Lots
of silverware, Daz.
You go and ask Fraser, who's probably done it plenty of times, right, get left in the stand. He didn't get the win bonus or a medals, does he? You only get a medal if you're on the pitch or you're sub.
But hold on, I think he got to the medal. We're not debating whether he got.
No, he just walked on. He picked one up. He just was part of the squad.
It was a spare one sitting there. Need to take your opportunity when it presents itself.
Anyway.
But it does mean the world, you know, and getting things like this to look back on. Hugh's right. The Aberdeen team, you know, a huge game for them today, a huge day for Stephen Glass. But to go that length of time with that list of teams winning it, and you are one of the biggest clubs in Scotland, then it's got to come a time that you actually put a stamp in that and show some sign of success. And when Aberdeen have got, was it 2,000 fans there for Park today? I mean, they're going there with high expectations, so it could be a difficult afternoon for Stephen Glass.
Obviously not going to get away from the fact, Fraser Wishart, that Celtic and Rangers are favourites, as they are for every domestic competition. What more did we learn midweek? We lasted you on Wednesday night when we were building up to a big night. What did we learn?
Well, you learned that I don't think they're going to drop many points. We had a big discussion on Wednesday night at the phone-in, and I don't think there's going to be a lot of points dropped between now and the end of the season, so every game is critical for those two teams, and I think one of the reasons our cup competitions are so important to the Old Firm is that they win trebles, and they boast about trebles, and they have the bragging rights, and for the opposition, sometimes it's winning the Scottish Cup that stops the opposition getting the trebles. So that's what makes our competition so important for the big clubs. We've discussed what it means to St Mirren and Hearts and all the rest of them, because they've got a chance of winning it. But that's why. But for me, longer term, you know, I just think that the gap is just too big for even likes of Hearts, who were heavily beaten last weekend, Motherwell, who were in fourth place, heavily beaten last weekend as well, and during the week Aberdeen, they did compete for a bit, but they were could have been two more goals down. They were two down at one point, so I think the gap is big there. But the biggest chance of knocking Rangers and Celtic off their perch is in a one-off game, and that's where the cup really has a bit of importance, or far more importance for our country than others.
Yeah, I mean, Roger Hannah, when you look specifically today, is the gap too big to consider Anne in any sort of banana skin? Is that one that Rangers just deal with and get out of the way and look to the next round?
Well, don't take my word for it. Listen to the words of the Annan Athletic manager Peter Murphy, who said at the end of the week, if Rangers don't go to Gala Bank and win 5-0, they'll be considered failures. That is the sort of size of gap that Peter Murphy believes exists between his side, top half of the fourth tier of Scottish football, and a Rangers side who, as we're talking, you know, are fighting in three fronts and about to take on Borussia Dortmund in the Europa League. So I genuinely think if Rangers were to slip up today, it would not only top Hugh Keevan's shock watch, it would top the Richter scale of Scottish Cup giant killings through the years.
There's a bit of intrigue though. You know, you always look at these ties as who gets a chance, what fringe players, any youngsters. Well, it will be Aaron Ramsey that takes the headlines, I'd imagine, Roger, given that he's set to make his first start for Rangers.
Yeah, I would think so. I was actually quite surprised when Giovanni Van Bronckhorst said that yesterday. You know, you think about some of these synthetic surfaces. I know Fraser Wishart's not a huge fan of them, but you just wonder with Aaron Ramsey's injury record whether or not he would be exposed to the surface at Gallabank. But they clearly think it's fine. They clearly think he's fine, he's ready to go, and he could probably do with getting 70 or 80 or 90 minutes under his belt, get him settled into the side, because Rangers have some much bigger fixtures just round the corner.
Yeah, I mean, David Friel again for Celtic tomorrow when that rolls around. On paper, these sides are much closer. Raith Rovers obviously higher up the pyramid than Annan would be. Is it Celtic Park? Again, is it a case of just using that squad?
Yeah, 100%, Gordon. I mean, I'm sure Ange Postecoglou will give John McGlynn Raith Rovers utmost respect, but Celtic's squad is so big that he can really afford to go and put some players in. You know, you were speaking yesterday about Christopher Julien, who, £7 million defender, and even Ange Postecoglou admits he's a significant player at the club. He's not even been on the bench for the last three games, you know, and you look at others who, that's Celtic without Kyogo and David Turnbull, and their bench is so strong. I think the subs during the week, you know, Nir Beaton, James Forrest, Tom Rogic, guys like that. So, yeah, I would imagine, I don't think it'll be a completely new 11, but I dare say Ange Postecoglou will use his squad, and you might see guys like James McCarthy and Yusuke Adeguchi and guys like that getting some game time. And maybe Christopher Julien off the bench, I'm not sure he'll start, but I do wonder where he might make his first appearance, and it's now approaching 15 months, and that would be a big boost for Celtic heading into the run-in to have a player of his calibre available again.
I think you have to acknowledge that there's so much football to come, and it may well be a pipe dream, it might not come close to happening, but the fact that we've even got to February, David, and Celtic fans are talking about the importance of the cup because it could be part of a treble, I mean, that would have been ridiculous at the start of the season, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say otherwise. I didn't think Celtic would get, you know, given the size of the rebuild, I didn't probably think Celtic would get very close to Rangers in the league. Thought maybe, you know, not obviously not the same gap as last year, but I thought Rangers would be too strong. So far, Celtic have been very, very good, and they're now on top. And I think, yeah, I mean, I think when you're only three or four games away from a potential Scottish Cup to add to what Celtic would hope to be a league, and of course you start to dream, and as I said last week, Celtic fans can afford to start dreaming, but Ange Postecoglou and his players can't, and I'm sure they won't. You know, as I said, they'll give Raith Rovers utmost respect, but in that dressing room they'll have their eyes on trying to win everything, and that'll probably go for Europa Conference League as well. You know, they start against Bodo Glimt in midweek. You look at the teams in the competition, I'm not saying Celtic are anywhere near favourites, but it's not as daunting as Europa League is, and I think Celtic will be looking to get a run a deep into that competition as well.
Yeah, what they have to be wary of tomorrow is too much rotation, I think. Celtic, at this stage, top of the league, the financial accounts published yesterday, absolutely glowing. Everything about the club, positive. Ange Postecoglou, a cult hero in the eyes of the Celtic fans. In the quieter moments, they'll look back and think, that night at St Mirren, 0-0 draw. If we'd get all 3 points there, Celtic would be 3 points clear at the top of the league, etc., etc. So they don't want to look back on Raith Rovers on a sleepy Sunday afternoon when the Green Brigade were absent and the noise levels dropped and the rain fell and the crowd was reduced in number because of a 4 o'clock kickoff. They don't want to look back on that as having caused them to get complacent and slip up, because the Celtic fans are dreaming of a domestic treble. And Raith Rovers, they're going there, as they did in the League Cup earlier this season, very much the underdogs. Celtic made them look like the underdogs in the League Cup, and they have to do the same tomorrow in the Scottish Cup.
It's turned around a bit in Cardiff. Wales 6, Scotland 11 now, so looking a bit better for Gregor Townsend's side. We are going to go back to the football and back around the grounds in the Scottish Cup next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's Scottish Cup fifth round weekend. We've got four big games about 15 minutes away. So let's go back around the grounds and get a final build up towards them. Where shall we start? Motherwell, Aberdeen, David Friel. A lot of focus on Aberdeen, David, the bigger of the clubs, the increased expectation levels. But Motherwell are not having a great 2022 and life after Tony Watt either.
Yeah, they're not, Gordon, really struggling for form. You know, that extra time win over Motherwell, their only win since the turn of the year. And I think Graeme Alexander was a little bit sort of, I don't think he liked the sort of argument that they're just missing Tony Watt. I think he said it was a lazy way of looking things, but there's no doubt they are. I mean, he's one of the country's top strikers. You know, you'd rather have him than not have him, and it's up to other guys to step up. As you said earlier, you know, he's rotated his squad, trying different things, and I think it's a huge day again for Kevin Van Veen. Seems to like playing against Aberdeen. You know, players have teams like that in their careers, but they just seem to find the net against them, and I think they'll be looking for that again. But I also think Joe Effort has to show a bit more. Connor Shields back in the squad again today as well. So the Mark of Harleen and Doyle and Sean goes behind them. So Motherwell definitely have goals in the team. I'm actually just warming up, watching them warm up, and it's unbelievable to see 22 players on the pitch at the same time, all these subs. So they've got plenty on the bench, plenty up front. So it's up to Motherwell to go and make home advantage count today.
Yeah, we often focus on strength and depth and having options. I wonder if there becomes a sensitive tipping point, David, where if you've got so many players of similar ability, there sometimes carries an accusation that you don't quite know the strongest starting 11. And I've seen a lot of Motherwell fans, rightly or wrongly, making that point on social media this week. If you look through that bench, Stephen O'Donnell's the club captain, clearly plays a lot of football. So does Ricky Lamy, Woolery, Slattery, Grimshaw, Tierney, Roberts, Cornelius. These are like all guys who've featured for the first team many, many times this season. And of course, there are 11 who start the match. It's almost like they can't quite decide which is the best combination.
Yeah, I think it's a really fair point. And I think Graeme Alexander would maybe spin it and say, oh, but I've got plenty of competition for places and it doesn't matter who plays. But you're right, every time I've watched Motherwell this season, you go thinking, how many changes will there be, especially up front? You know, who will he play as a front three? Who'll play right? Who'll play left? I'm actually surprised Kane Willoughby's not playing. I've always liked him. I always think he makes things happen. Callum Slattery in Middlesbrough Park as well. But yeah, it just seems to be he's trying to find the right mix. But there's no doubt Tony Watt is a huge miss. But as I said, Kevin Van Veen, I think he can be a talisman. I think he can be a match winner. And this is a huge game for him. And Connor Shields as well. You know, he's been in and out of side. He's had chances. He's done well. Then again, he's back out it. Huge day for him too as well. But I totally agree with you. I think Motherwell have to find a settled three, especially in that forward area, and give him a real chance to get a head of steam up.
I explained my very, very non-scientific theory on this match last night, Gordon. Motherwell have beaten Aberdeen 2-0 twice this season. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot between the sides. Can Motherwell really win a third game in a row, or do the law of averages catch up with you?
Two teams that are in poor form. I do agree with David. I think that Graeme Alexander, he's got good players at his disposal, Gordon, but they're off form. I think you've got to give them an opportunity. As a striker, if you're playing in that front three, you want a run of games. You know, you'll get a run of games, get to know your partner you're playing with, get to know the style, get a couple of goals, build confidence from there. I just think the rotation's too much just now.
Here is Graeme Alexander.
I think all teams have had tough periods this season and good periods. So, we're only responsible and care about what we're doing at the particular moment. If we do things right from our side, you know, we're in control of our destiny. We want to go through to the next round. We have a real tough opponent. I think we know of their abilities and what individuals they have and how they play and the manager's philosophy. So we know all those things, and you have to overcome those things. But, we look forward to the cup competitions.
Is there a big cup day out for the Kelty Hearts fans? Fraser, have they made the journey through to Paisley?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few to my right-hand side. I think bigger than quite a few of the Premiership clubs would bring. I would say at least 300, maybe 400. So I think the club paid for buses to come through as well. It's just a big occasion and a reward for that brilliant win against St Johnstone in the last round. And clearly a club going places. You look at Cove at the top of League One, and they're going to go into the Championship by the looks of it. And you wouldn't bet against Kelty to be there in a couple of years as well. Some of these clubs have got huge backers, and what makes them dangerous is that backing, you know, because I said earlier, you go through their team and plenty of guys who played at Premiership level, you know, and just looking at Callum Higginbotham was one I didn't mention, him and Joe Cardle in wide areas today, still going with a 4-3-3 formation. Kevin Thompson, very positive. Austin scores goals through the middle, so there's a threat there for St Mirren, and they have to be very careful of it. But maybe the shock factor has gone because of that win against St Johnstone. The St Mirren players don't need reminding that this is a decent side. Don't be fooled by their League 2 status. They're better than that, and probably as good as many of the Championship teams as well. So for St Mirren, It's just about confidence, and you're talking about options and talking about too many players. Jim Goodwin's just said, same again, he's not changed the team around at all, he's not rotated, he's not rested. He knows his team are on a fantastic run, and a win against Kelty, just all of a sudden it becomes seven games with six wins and a draw this year as well. So I think he knows the importance of this stage, of this competition, and the impact it can have on the future league games.
Let's hear from Jim Goodwin then, ahead of that one.
They're a very, very good side, a very... a very well-organised team. Kevin Thompson is a good young manager with, some good, fresh ideas. I know he was highly regarded during his time at Rangers with the academy, and he's obviously stepped up into senior management. And, you have to say, took to it like a duck to water. I don't believe they're a League Two team. I think they could very much hold their own in the Championship with the squad of players that they have and the budget that they have available to them at that level. They should be winning their league, and I would expect them to get promoted this season, and I would also expect them to go again next season and be in the mix to get promoted out of League One also. It's going to be extremely challenging. There's no pressure on Kelty Hearts. They're the underdogs, but it is a banana skin.
Let's go back to Firhill, Roger Hannah. You've got concerns about the pitch, and I wonder what difference a few weeks can make. Dundee United were on that sticky run, and this could have been viewed as a proper banana skin. Will they be feeling a lot better about themselves after beating Motherwell midweek?
Yeah, without doubt, because it is very congested in that middle area of the Premiership table. But they come here fourth. They've beaten Motherwell in the middle of the week, and that's, combined with the other results, they are fourth in the table, and the table doesn't lie, so they'll feel good about themselves. They've got into a way of playing. I like the January recruitment, not just Tony Watt, but I think Kevin McDonald, thankfully came through that kidney transplant, is somehow back playing football. It's a terrific... heartwarming story. He's back in the middle of the park there. They actually brought Ross Graham back from a loan spell at Dunfermline, and he's settled into a back three as well. So there's a good balance about the United side, but on this surface, I don't want to do down Partick Thistle and say it would be a giant killing, because Thistle are a good side as well, but I actually don't think the surface will help Thistle. They've got good footballers there, the likes of Stuart Bannigan, Scott Tiffany, who scored against United in the Cup last season. I don't think the surface is going to help either side. And the last thing it needed, Gordon, in the hour before kickoff was no fewer than 40 footballers and assorted coaching staff running about, churning it up. It looked bad when I arrived here, the back at 1 o'clock this afternoon. It looks a whole lot worse now, and you would worry that the surface would have an influence on the spectacle of this fifth round tie this afternoon.
Yeah, let's hear from Tam Courts then.
Yeah, I think a lot of clubs, proclaim to, buy into the romance of the Scottish Cup. I think at this football club, particularly with our fans, it's something that really is kind of palpable. I think the support that we got in the Premier Sports Cup, the support that we got down at Rugby Park, is very evident that the fans are motivated by, a cup run. Mm-hmm. They'll obviously be there in their numbers, and we want to give them something to shout about. So building on Wednesday is really important. Peaking at the right time of the season is really important. And we've got a chance to go navigate our way through a really kind of tricky tag. It's a good opponent, but the incentive is massive for us.
Hearts are clearly in third place. They're looking comfortable for a third place finish. They've got a good recent history in the Scottish Cup as well. That said, Dave Galloway, I'm not sure Livy are the ideal opponents. They are a fairly tricky obstacle to get past on their day.
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. Like you say, they have set the bar high, 10 points clear in third place in the Premiership, but a couple of bumps in the road, as the manager referred to them, against Rangers and Dundee, which we've touched on already. But the weight of expectation rests firmly on their shoulders. A big crowd is here fully expecting a victory today and a place in the last eight. But Livingston, they will be well up for the fight today, won't they? You could be sure of that. And they play some good stuff as well. Bruce Anderson has shown he's got an eye for goal, netting 10 times so far in this campaign. He'll be confident of adding to that if he gets the right supply from the likes of Alan Forrest. And I would say everything points towards a really close, really hard-fought contest today.
Yeah, that's a fair point. You look at Bruce Anderson, Alan Forrest, all in good form. But let's be honest, what we really need is a Halliday Bartley bust up. That's what the audience needs.
It's certainly what Monday night's programme needs.
I mean, I wouldn't fancy Andy's chances for what it's worth, but it'd be great drama.
If you get two bumps in the road, as Robbie Nielsen calls them, okay, you can just about get away with that. If you get a third, that's not a bump in the road, that's structural damage. So they cannot afford to lose at home to Livingston when the crowd are tetchy. For some reason, they're always tetchy with Robbie Nielsen, although he does an excellent job for them. But he always seems to be just an inch away from the firing line. So, Livy were capable of beating Hibs at Easter Road. They are equally capable of beating Hearts at Tynecastle. It's not a shock because they're in the same division, but it's a hazard that Hearts have to negotiate today.
Gordon DL's cutting edge rugby analysis just told me that every time he looks up at the screen, it's a different score. That's just that. I don't really know how to elaborate. He's kind of right. I don't know how long he spends looking away. It's now Wales 14, Scotland 14. So close fought game.
This boy keeps falling over the line in because he's handing the ball and they give him a goal anyway.
Both have had a it.
Oh, you look at yeah, yeah.
That's one T for one try.
14-14. Good game. Anyway. N10.
Right, kick off in the Scottish Cup. Fifth round coming next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scottish Cup fifth round weekend, and the games are getting underway up and down the country. The conditions look horrific. We've got a close eye on the match at Fir Park. There are other Premiership ties, of course, at Tynecastle between Hearts and Livy. Thistle, Dundee United, not a lot separating them in the football pyramid. St Mirren, Kelty a bit further apart, and then big games to come later on. So give us your latest set of flawless predictions, Hugh.
I am taking Aberdeen to give themselves a shake and win at Fir Park. St Mirren, home win, Kelty Hearts. Away win, Dundee United at Fir Hill. Home win, Hearts, Livy. And away win, Rangers at Annan.
I think Motherwell Aberdeen will go the full distance, but I think Aberdeen will go through in that tie. St Mirren will beat Kelty, Hearts will beat Livy, United will beat Partick Thistle, and obviously Rangers will beat.
So you and me, identical, five identical predictions there.
Oh, sorry, Hugh, I wasn't listening. Well, really, I was concentrating on mines. Sorry,
nothing wrong with that.
I'm certainly not going for them. I'll go home one Motherwell. I fancy a cup shock. St Mirren, Partick Thistle, and Hearts and Rangers.
Motherwell do have the ball in the back of the net, but it's offside. Let's get it up and running properly.
Goal flashes with Aspire Industrial Services, leading the way in industrial and corporate branded workwear.
Right, now that the predictions are out the way, it was actually a nice move from Motherwell.
Offside.
The flag goes up early. I must admit, it looks like a very tight call.
That is close.
I'm not having that.
That's very tight.
Not sure to what extent we will see a conclusive replay either way. I'll jump on the sense of injustice bandwagon already. Why not? 40 seconds in.
What a start that would have been. Here is it again, Gordon.
It's hard to tell because you can't cut. See. Nah.
I tell you what, I think he's onside.
So do
I think with a cut of the grass here, first look at that, that looks onside. I think Efford's hard done by.
Will we get any conspiracy calls about this one on Monday?
Or who's the referee today at Fir Park?
You're not allowed that if you're a wee team, no?
Yeah, just checking. Not allowed if it's Motherwell.
Right, that's fine. Alloa 1 East 5-0. Mark Dernan, that's a league game, of course, down there in League 1. Sims has had a shot deflected over for Hearts, so they're trying to start fast. And more importantly, what about the conditions at Fir Park? Oh my goodness, Fir Park is all happening.
Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com.
Motherwell 0, Aberdeen 1. And it's Christian Ramirez, the main goal getter, got another good one against Celtic in the league during the week, and he's got one in the cup already this afternoon across a back post header from the American striker. That's the start Stephen Glass needed.
Yeah, and it's the one move that he has made in the transfer front that that has really paid off for me. It looks a real handful, Christian Ramirez. So now it's a test of Graham Alexander's theory, and I think he's spot on. It's lazy just to say Motherwell don't do well now because Tony Watt's away. Tony Watt played 6 games for Dundee United and didn't score. At that point, the selling club did not profit and the buying club did not profit from Tony Watt. So it's a great goal from Ramirez, terrific header. The Aberdeen fans behind that goal, absolutely delighted, and now Motherwell truly have it all to do.
I'm not sure I've seen fans spill onto the pitch to celebrate a second minute opener before. I must admit, usually it's the late drama that makes you do that. But it's a long way to come. have been feeling pretty rubbish about their team recently, and Ramirez has them in front, Gordon.
That's all about the ball, Gordon, from the right hand side. As a striker, that's a dream. A dream ball. You know, Mark's probably put one or two of them in his career. It's just coming right hand side, and you've got to question.
What, defending's horrendous.
But as an attacking team, it's a good finish, but where is the defenders? Where is the centre backs?
Ojala, Solholm, and Mugabe, who's playing right back, Mark. So you've got three sort of recognised central defenders in there, and Ramirez is like in between all of them.
You know what? Yeah, I get your frustration there, but I'm going to give credit. McCrory's ball in's fantastic. Great pace, into a great area, and Ramirez is just like the old saying, you see the defender's number, then you know the defender's in trouble, and he peels off the back, and it's a fantastic header. What a start. How things can change in 2 minutes, because I see nothing wrong with that Motherwell goal, unless we see other evidence. It was a great move. Motherwell looked up for it. They looked sharp. They gave away a free kick, and Scott Brown, which looked soft, and it goes up the other end.
I know I would say that, but
I agree. I didn't think it was a free kick, but they've still got to defend it, Gordon.
It's a free kick in their own half. You know, it's not. Yeah. It's not.
When that ball comes in for the right hand side, Mark's right. McCrory's ball is top drawer. But if you're the Motherwell manager, you must be saying, "Come on, guys, we need to defend the box."
Incidentally, so the Aberdeen fans sort of spilled on to the side of the pitch to celebrate the goal. The Motherwell fans did not like that, and looked like they were trying to return the favour, and the police and the stewards and everyone had to get involved. Oh, good old fashioned cup fun.
The Aberdeen fans are on a warning from their own club, because they're threatening to close the red shed, as they call it, the area behind one goal, because of the flares, and it's become a safety hazard. So you remember they won at Livingston with the jammiest goal you'll ever see, when the goalkeeper dropped it into his own net and they invaded the park then. So they've clearly got, I will use the word exuberant, they've got an exuberant bunch of young fans.
It's becoming more common now. That's the worry around the full of Scotland, that these goals, I love the emotion and I love the large travelling away fans, but it's becoming the norm now to spill onto the pitch, and once a few clubs start doing it, then the younger generation, if you like, see that and they start replicating it, and it's a problem. It's a problem.
Well, it's a real big problem if the home fans then think, well, not having that, then you could have the risk of something bad on your hands.
Just having a bit of fun, bit of cop fun. Come on, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's do this though whilst we can, because we've neglected it so far.
The first half teaser
with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Roger Hannah, if you're listening, you're going to be busy with this one. Since 2012, 10 players from out with the UK and Europe have played in and won a Scottish Cup final. Name them. Since 2012, 10 players from out with the UK and Europe have played in and won a Scottish Cup final. Who are they?
At Clyde SSB, we're looking for one tweet with all 10 names on it, and it's a race. So get thinking, that's extremely hard. I might have to dish out some clues for some of them. Just remember, what I would always say is it's football nationality as well. There's one in particular there that falls into that category. So get your answers in at Clyde SSB. Aberdeen almost go two ahead. Ramirez again, this time with a lobbed finish, a little bit unlucky, and it stays Motherwell nil, Aberdeen 2. Aberdeen 1, the only goal of the day so far.
We should score, actually. You should put Aberdeen 2 up for me. Defending once again, too easy, one ball over the top. Ramirez is on it, he's strong, holds off the defender, goalkeeper's in no man's land. That for me is a very simple chance. I think he puts that in the back in it, and Motherwell are under severe pressure.
Are you cutting him any slack? The wind and all that?
No, I'm not cutting. You've got to deal with that. I just thought it was poor defending, and I think it's a poor finish. I really do.
I tell you what, Hugh's right. I know it's poor defending, but the wind takes that ball in a good few yards. When you see it from behind the goal, it bounces, and then a gust of wind sweeps it towards the goal, which allows Ramirez that chance to get in. But he should score. You're right.
Thank you.
Okay, at Clyde SSB in the teaser, some of those names, Hugh. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. That's why I said you'll need to be busy.
I don't think we should take part this week.
I'm out anyway. I don't even know the question.
That is grim.
I'm too busy. I'm concentrating the games.
Half time, Wales 14, Scotland 14 in the Six Nations. Rain absolutely battering down at Fir Park. There's a leak in the roof above David Friel's head.
Oh, and your beauty.
You'll be pleased to know.
Imagine it was Wishers. And that baldy bit. Boom, boom, boom. be some atmosphere.
Oh, David Friel.
He's having a tough time of it.
Oh, there's some days you're happier than others to be in the studio in this lovely warm environment. We love seeing games, but not in February.
Clyde nil, Dumbarton won, a league game as well. Ross McLean, 8 minutes on the clock for Dumbarton. So we've got a bit of a mix. We've got two big games in the Championship, Killy Dunfermline and Morton QOS, as Mark Wilson calls them. Speaking of which, you've just been subjecting us to footage of your favourite ever Scottish Cup goal. When you told us you scored a 35-yard volley, a screamer for Dundee United against Queen of the South en route to the Scottish Cup. So it sounded exciting. We checked it out and everything was right about what you say until it left your foot. Hugh would have saved it. I don't know what the keeper was doing. Throws it into the net.
I have to contradict you, I wouldn't have saved it.
Yeah, you would have, Hugh.
I think we've got an ego battle going on in here. And I think Mark Wilson shows great invention and ambition to have a dig from that distance.
Then what happens after that? I could show ambition. It's the fact that the goalie then just waves at it and lets it drop into the corner.
The best bit about it was he nudges me and he went, "Look, have a look at this. This is my goal." Great build up play. I'll give him that. Good ball in with his left foot, goes for a return, and he hits it with his right, and he goes. And that was the best bit. You went boom, right?
It was the sheer power that outfoxed the goalkeeper.
And the worst it was, I'm saying, who is that goal? That's the worst goalkeeper I've ever seen in my life. I tried everything in my power to sign him, Colin Scott. I honestly tried to sign him. But the reports I got was, you should have seen the goal he lost against Dundee United. Don't touch him.
The listeners will be the judge here. Go on, just Google it. Dundee United.
Who's spending your Saturday afternoon Googling your goals against Queen of the South from 2005?
It's the Scottish Cup. And you know what? It led to us going to the final. So it was an important goal.
Bonfire of the vanities in here. One man's vanity against another man's vanity.
It was one of my classics.
Since 1994, I've listened to Gordon Dale go on about the headed goal he got in the League Cup final against Celtic at Ibrox when the goalkeeper made a mistake and he dinked it in with his head.
Do you know what just popped into my head the other night? Whatever happened to that random bizarre phase on here where you used to get referred to as the mushroom? Do you remember that?
I remember, it's like a caller phoned in,
christened you. You were getting, people were shouting at you at the school gates and stuff like that. It followed you everywhere. Do you think it's gone?
It's dipped a bit.
I think it has dipped significantly.
I told you about my taxi driver on Thursday night, Shug the taxi driver.
You did.
And he only referred to the Dazzler and the Mushroom, and that was his favourite night of the week.
So maybe it's not still out there.
Well, it's certainly not died down now, seeing we've highlighted it this afternoon.
You can't force these things. I have no desire to bring it back. It makes no difference to me. I'm just saying, I feel like it's
certainly calmed down at school gates where I was picking up the kids and the kids were wondering what I had to do with mushrooms.
I'll set you a task then, because that can't be it. That was just too bizarre. I wonder what's the best nickname you've heard from your teammates, because you footballers are weird. You have to refer to each other, even if you don't have a nickname, you stick a Y or something on the end of it, and just, you can't call each other by a normal first name. What's the best nickname you've ever heard? I'll give you thinking time. I know you won't be able to.
Go on, Daz. You'll have a few.
Well, this is the guy that got Gaw tattooed on himself, didn't he? A homemade.
That's brilliant.
He's told us this before.
Brilliant. Gaw.
That
still makes me laugh.
I still don't know what that means.
You've still got a wee bit of ink on your arm.
I've not got a wee bit.
I always liked the. Remember the fullback who was called Bungalow because he had nothing upstairs?
Right, that's exactly.
That's the one.
Who was it, though?
I'm trying to remember. It might be Willie Donaghy.
Right, that's exactly what I'm looking for. So, Shug, Mushroom and Dazzler want to know, what's the best nickname you've ever heard? Now, naturally, you get brownie points if it's football related, if it's a football player, of course. But see if you just want to tell me about Wee Davey off the building site, or Big Jim for the stock room, or whatever it is. What's the best nickname you've ever heard and why? We must be able to uncover some good stories out of this. There must be.
Yeah,
I like that. Bungle. Nothing upstairs. Okay, that's exactly
I love half pint. That's my favourite.
Well, just from someone that's short.
Short, yeah. Wee half pint.
I think we can do better in the originality stakes.
We must come up with a few.
Motherwell aren't doing better in the originality stakes. 13 minutes in, they're still a goal down, and the Aberdeen goal. They might have a 37-year-old who retired 3 years ago on the bench as the sub goalkeeper, but the one who's on is in no danger of getting injured because he's under no pressure from Motherwell.
About nothing specific? Nobody in mind specifically, but I've heard it a few times. The blister only turns up when the hard work's done. That one.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
A few players who would come on and dance about 2-0 up only turns up when the hard work's
only
done.
Only appears when the hard work's done. Okay, yeah. I can get on board with that. Who would that refer to, though?
Well, use your imagination, yeah.
The 40-yarder.
Right, go on then. That's on Twitter at Clyde SSB. What's the best nickname you've ever heard? Football players would be, you know, top of the tree. You get brownie points for that. But even just guys that you know will have a good bit of fun with that. I think if there's any that are like sort of well known, any famous ones that spring to mind. Roger Hanna, Fraser Wishart, David Fuel, they'll be good. There'll be these. Craig Beattie. Oh, a few have sent this in. This one does ring a bell, actually. David Fuel has sent this in, so has Craig Beattie. You remember Fitz Hall? He played the down in
one,
down
yeah, one size.
One size. Yeah. Very good.
That's good.
Very, very good. Yeah. I think we can do even better, but I like that. I must admit.
It's not broadcastable.
Well, that's not
I played with Matthew Bates at Bristol City.
Oh, right, dear.
No, no.
Yeah, that's so fine. You know where that's going. That's fine. David Field says Neil Poynton was called Dissa.
Oh, yeah.
That's a strong start. It is a strong start. Right, let's see how we get on then. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Giovanni Van 56 says, best address Alan McGregor's early and get out of the way. No, thank you. We'll stick with the football at the moment. Motherwell 0, Aberdeen 1.
First chance for Motherwell.
What do you mean first chance? They've had the ball in the back of the net. Wrongly offside. Ruled out for offside.
It was offside.
No, it wasn't.
I don't think it was.
When you see the cut of the grass, he's in line.
And if there's one team that cuts their grass straight,
it's the
best pitch in the land. But Ramirez has Aberdeen in front, and it's the only goal of the Scottish Cup fifth round so far. Van Veen has scored a lovely free kick at Fir Park this season, and he does have a good record against Aberdeen, but doesn't find the net on this occasion. Another chance for Motherwell soon after. Connor Shields just wide with a header. In fact, that one nearly went through your flat window.
I'm a bit concerned about that. Extra insurance they now with the way Motherwell
deflected, to be fair.
Yeah, take a corner for that. But he'll get a goal today. I fancy him. As David Friel says, sometimes as a striker, you get teams you like playing against. You look at Morelis, for instance, loved playing against him, scores against them. Van Veen loves playing against Aberdeen, will score today.
Oh, hold on, I've got one of these. Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com. St Mirren 1, Kelty Hearts 0, and it's Alex Grieve picking up where he left off from midweek, scoring his first goal in the Scottish Cup. It was a rebound, a header from Jameson. A save from Jameson, sorry, close range header, and Alex Grieve has St Mirren in front. How important is that, Hugh, when you're the big dog, when you've got the pressure of everyone looking and suspecting that maybe there could be a shock? If you get yourself a nice early goal, settle the nerves.
Exactly. It's just good for everyone's strength of character. And of course, Grieve is a Kiwi, so it'll have been a polished finish.
Very good, Hugh.
I was taking a drink of my water there. Very good. Choked on it, right? Okay.
Now that's important. You're right. When you are the overwhelming favourite going into games, you're wanting something the first 15-20 minutes just to calm the nerves. And that's exactly what St Mirren have done.
Kevin McHugh says, I'm known for overanalyzing my golf game, so the nickname is Bryson DeShambles. Okay. Gary Cook says, a boy I worked with was called Dulux
Painter,
because he only had one coat.
That's quite good. Yeah.
Good start, very strong start. I'm happy with that. Keep your nickname suggestions coming in. The first half teaser as well. You two got any on that teaser? That is tough.
I've got to be honest, I don't even know the question.
I'll tell you the question.
Right, go on, Hugh.
Since season 2012, 10 players from out with the UK and Europe have played in and won a Scottish Cup final. Who are they? Last 10 years, 10 players from out with the UK and Europe have
no
won
one
the Scottish Cup.
No one's got them all right so far. one person out there is one off. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And weirdly, the only one that they're missing is a Celtic player. So it's not one of the more obscure ones.
No, we've got that.
No, there is more than one Celtic player on the list.
Well, we've got one.
But yeah, have a think about that. So like I said, football nationality. So there's one of those that might, you know, play for a different country than he was than he was born in. There are a good few Celtic players from recent seasons on there. Mm. Of course, who else has won the cup? You might want to think maybe Edinburgh might be an interesting place to start. There's one in particular, I think. One, maybe two of those answers extremely obscure. But I think we'll get there. At Clyde SSB, send them in.
They might pick that away.
I don't know, but it's a good one, isn't it?
Aye.
We're off and running here.
We're good. I'll get back to you.
We're 8 short.
So St Mirren are 1 up on Kelty, Aberdeen are 1 up on Motherwell. That's your lot in the Scottish Cup at the moment. Got some goals down the leagues. Dumbarton beating Clyde. Did I say Alloa beating East Fife?
Yes.
Or was it the other way around?
No, Alloa 1 up, are they not? Yep. Yep, Alloa 1 up.
Okay. Jonathan Thompson. It's not that offensive, producer Callum. He's giving me the thumbs down, I think. But
ooh, read it out anyway.
Yeah.
Be brave.
It's only one way we'll find out. We'll get taken off here.
What's the worst that could happen?
Jonathan Thompson says Gordon Dale's nickname in the new century bar in Motherwell is Black and Decker because he's a boring. You know.
I don't even drink the Century Bar. Tell them me nonsense.
That's why, because nobody likes you in there, so you don't.
All right, okay.
Rory.
Who's that?
Jonathan Thompson.
All right, I'll find out where he lives.
Rory says a guy at my dad's old work was known as the Bulb. Big, ugly looking bloke. Oh, what a standard this is. Clyde nil, Dumbarton 2, Stuart Carswell, the skipper. Former Motherwell midfielder scoring there for the Suns. Great save from Sigrist from Tiffany. Partick Thistle on top.
Well, Brian Graham, you know, 3 goals in Inverness in midweek. Former Dundee United player who Mark Wilson assures me wasn't exactly taken to by the United fans. So he might be one guy that would not mind putting Dundee United out.
He's on form just now, the big man. Yeah, he had a hard time, Hugh, at Dundee United. Just when you think about it, he was playing second fiddle really to my pal Chief Chi at the time. He found
it
hard.
What's he doing this weather?
Well, he's injured.
Injured, yeah. But look, there's plenty of games to go. Don't worry about Chief Chi. Yeah, don't worry about that.
He's out injured, to be fair. It's difficult to score when you're not playing.
I'm seeing.
I think
many
he's picking
goals
in the poor boy now.
I'm not picking on him. We just want
anyway,
to see
Big Brian. Big Brian found it difficult to nail down a place in that team. So I think it would mean the world to him, Hugh, if he manages to get in the score sheet and do a number on United today.
We do now have one person who's got all of those answers.
There you are.
On Twitter at Clyde SSB. Really good effort. Keep them coming. One more reminder at the moment, Hugh, of the question.
Okay, since season 2012, in other words 10 years ago, 10 players from out with the UK and Europe have played in and won a Scottish Cup final. Who are they?
At Clyde SSB. Send them over. We're also looking for your football really. Well, it doesn't need to be football, just the best nicknames you've ever heard. You get extra points if it is a football player. There must be some good ones from up here. Fitz Hall, I think, one size. That's the best so far. Mm. And he never played up here, did he? So we need to do better from the Scottish leagues. Let's see what we can do. We've got goals at Fir Park and in Paisley. We've got Partick Thistle on top. All quiet so far from Hearts Livy. And of course, later on, Annan against Rangers. Ross McLean has his second. And Dumbarton are 3-0 up at Clyde after 21 minutes. I'm pretty sure Ross McLean drove by me on the way to that game today. So that half nod that I gave him obviously inspired him to great things.
Is that Ross we play golf with?
We did once, yeah.
He was sent off. Was that last week? He was sent off
a couple of
weeks ago.
Yeah. Very soft.
Well, that played golf.
Well, 21 minutes in, 3-0. Safe to say that's over.
Everton 2 Leeds 0. Michael Keane with the goal there. Frank Lampard could be doing with that
after Newcastle in midweek. Yeah, they get turned over there.
We see Nathan Patterson start a game anytime soon.
Is he on the bench again, Colin?
Well, he's going to find it hard when we see Seamus Coleman, Everton captain now. When he's fit, when you're given the armband, you're probably going to play. So he's going to find it difficult.
He is on the bench. It would be nice to see some more at game time. So today, Stephen O'Donnell's on the Motherwell bench, Nathan Patterson's on the bench, Anthony Ralston tends to be in the Celtic bench if they're at full strength these days. Going to need a... You could be getting a call up for right back.
Well, if I post that video, you post that the 40-yard volley, then you never know. Steve Clark.
Just to reopen an old debate, Aaron Hickey starts at right wing back in a back three, back five, if you like, for Bologna today. He keeps being saying, I know he's right footed, but he keeps playing left back. He started playing right back. Wonder if that changes the conversation.
I've always found it strange why he's never been involved at the younger age groups. I don't know what really goes into that, but if you're playing at that level every week, then you deserve a look in for the national team. If you're holding in a place in that league, in a number of positions, then of course.
Did you find it such a big adjustment, Mark? Because you obviously played both.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, of course it was. Well, on the left hand side, everything's unnatural. It was fine. I quite enjoyed playing there, but you had to keep checking back, you know, onto your right foot, and that slowed the play down. I much preferred playing on the right.
Don't get me wrong. I mean, Bologna are 3-0 down, so you might be having an absolute stinker for all I know. But
Steve Clark's now travelled.
He started there nevertheless.
Very unnatural for a boy.
Lazio.
That's not bad. Lazio, good side.
So, but anyway, Nathan Patterson had come in and done well when he wasn't really playing for Rangers either, so yeah. He's perhaps,
I think he's well worth a look at. Remember the days of Football Italia? I mean, it'd be great if it was on again. Remember every Saturday morning, yep, Sunday afternoon, and now we've got one of our own playing there. It'd be great.
I didn't
watch
float
it.
My boat. I didn't accept
because
me.
You weren't cultured enough to watch that.
No,
that's
I just
why.
Didn't, I did
and
not
you played in the first division, so nothing would be relevant to you.
I think you've been very unfair there.
Big moment in the championship. Dunfermline have a penalty to put Kilmarnock behind after everything that's gone on at Kilmarnock in the last week, and it's been saved. So still goalless in that one. Stevie Lawless, usual, very reliable in his time at Livy from the spot, but not today. Right, on this one from Jason Craig, I'm going to tell you the nickname. Mm-hmm. You tell me the real surname of this gentleman that he used to work with. Are you ready?
Okay.
The nickname is Sly Bacon.
Sly Bacon. Right, Sly.
Sly Bacon is the guy's nickname. What's his real surname?
Huh.
This is like a crossword clue, if you like. It's that sort of...
Oh, cryptic. Very cryptic.
It's not... He's actually quite close, would you believe?
What did he say?
Hamilton.
Grunt some sort of...
Cunningham.
Cunningham.
Right.
Hold on a minute. Surely it's just nicknames are surely to shorten things down.
Nah, but it's funnier.
So that defeats the purpose.
Good sense of
instead of calling him Cunningham, you're calling him Sly Bacon. Two words.
Nah, good sense of imagination.
Yeah.
Well, Mushroom's longer than Wilson, isn't it? Mushroom's longer than Willow.
I know, but I'm not. Listen, I don't want people to call me Mushroom. I would rather it stops.
You sure?
Don't worry about a Mushroom. We won't stop that.
A friend, I think I told you before, Gordon, I sent you, that a friend also got me a T-shirt
with Mushroom on it?
Yeah. Seriously? Embroidered.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness.
It cost him like 35 quid to get this embroidered with a big mushroom on it, saying fungi under it. And it's, see, the funny thing is, it's good quality T-shirts, so they've went out their way to keep up the nickname.
I'll be in the charity shop next to your breaking tracksuit, son.
Right, at Clyde SSB to keep them coming in to give your guesses for the first half teaser as well. Still those goals that we were telling you about, one for Aberdeen who are in front at Fir Park, and one for St Mirren who are in front at home. Remember this name, Janino Bacuna. I feel like we barely got to know him. He's put Birmingham one up on Luton down there in the championship. So
that was a bit of a strange episode, that, because he came in and we all commented on him, and we all thought, okay, sounds interesting. Then we seen him, can't recall who it was. Was it Ross County at home, maybe? And he looked decent, then just dropped in and out, and all of a sudden he's away. That just shows you Van Bronckhorst came in right away. Made his mind up, moved him on.
He did say he didn't feel like he got a fair crack at the whip. But obviously the Rangers manager just didn't see him as being part of the plans going forward, Mark, and decided to move him on. And it's a good move. Birmingham, big club.
Essentially replaced him with Aaron Ramsey, really.
Yeah.
And now on paper, there's only one way of looking at that in terms of who fans would rather have. Of course, we're yet to see what Aaron Ramsey brings, but I think it's fairly obvious that that's one that excited the fans when he came in.
Yeah, and I think it's an exciting day for Rangers fans if he has to start at Annan. I know it's Annan, but they want to see him. You know, they want to see
did the man
a good portion of the game.
I think he said it was.
As he's starting, so yeah. The Rangers fans want to see him in a good portion of the game, and that will get him to a decent level of fitness. The interesting one will be, is he registered for Thursday evening? Do we
yes.
know that?
Yes. I think so.
Mark, I've unlike yourself.
Someone sent me, it was Ryan Walker. By all accounts, Aaron Ramsey's last start for a club team was at the St. Petersburg Stadium in Russia in a Champions League game against Zenit, and today he's going to start Galabank Annan in the Scottish Cup.
I was just going to ask Mark, unlike yourself, I've never managed at that level. Have you been to Annan with a team? What likes to set up?
You know, I've been to Annan with a team. You know how it turned out. Well, I tell you, my last visit to Annan, and it was on a Tuesday night. It was a replay. It was a replay. And we went one up after 2 minutes, and I thought, oh, we've cracked it here. Worked on things throughout the week. We've cracked it here. My left back got sent off, I think, 10 minutes later. So something like 12 minutes into the game, and we got beat 5-1. Oh. Pretty sure I've got the facts right. Yeah. And yeah, that was my last visit. So not my favourite place.
Gary Henderson sent me one. I think I've seen this on social media as well, but it's a classic. Man Bat. Why would that be someone's nickname? Man Bat.
Man Bat. Mm-hmm. No, I heard that one. Come on, Hugh.
Because the guy's real name was Wayne Bruce.
Oh, Batman.
That's good. I like that. That's clever. Takes a wee bit of thinking.
Oh, that's good. That is good.
Wayne Bruce.
I must say.
Yeah, very good.
Good. Frustration for Hearts fans. They're starting to grumble a little bit at dominating possession, but just unable to break down Livingston at the moment. Martin Bartley's got his team well drilled.
That'll be a difficult game for Hearts, because if they don't get a goal in the first half, Livingston 0-0, you will hear the boos at Tynecastle.
Nobody pays any attention to Livingston, but in their own quiet way, they're picking up points. They're not far off the top six. They're simply, in terms
three
of
3 points off fourth.
Yeah, in terms of profile, they are nothing like the highest. But David Martindale and Marvin Bartley are doing an outstanding job. Are you watching this ball here, Mark Wilson?
Yeah.
It's not running through the surface.
When it
went
surface as
somebody's going to make a mistake caused by the surface.
Yeah, call it off, I think. It looks dangerous, if you ask me. Get it called off.
Can you see who's standing in the tunnel there?
Alan Burrows. Mm-hmm. No Tony Watt anywhere today, though.
Why is that the case? Why is Alan Burrows standing in tunnels? Does he often do that?
He stands.
He's a gaffer,
I know he's a gaffer.
He stands where he wants.
But
honestly, do you know
there's probably a better seat.
No, honestly, I think it's because he gets so stressed about games that he just likes to stand himself.
Yeah.
It was something like that. Because obviously there's a seat there,
but
if he wants it.
Hang fire. He's not really standing himself in that tunnel. He's probably 2 yards away from Glass and Alexander.
Yeah, but it's probably better than being in amongst fans, isn't it?
But I tell you what, you become closer to the players, that there's a danger you could get involving him, like we've seen with Tony Watt.
But I think he's one of the great stories. I think Alan Burrows is one of the great stories. To go from the terracing to the CEO, I think that's outstanding. And he's fantastic at that club. And the two of them had the good grace to admit that it was all just a bit of nonsense.
It's all mouthy. Alan Burrows couldn't use his hands anyway, because his sleeves are usually down about 3 inches to his suit. If you ever look at Alan Burrows wearing a suit, he's the worst I've ever seen.
I'm glad he's in the tunnel.
I know.
Hope he's not getting a pod in one ear.
Have you ever walked by Alan Burrows, have a look at his suit. He's honestly, it's one of the ones his jacket's doing.
Van Veen and David Bates is a good old tussle. They seem to be wrestling at every opportunity. Of course, this fixture would be the one that gave us John Boyle and Craig Brown.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Oh, magnificent.
If you're talking about chief execs getting involved, remember?
Yeah.
No. So Craig Brown, Motherwell manager, left, became Aberdeen manager, returned to Fir Park. John Boyle then went and pretty much offered him a square go in the tunnel after the game.
Yeah. That'd have been good.
I was there that day. That was quite something. Right, I like this one. David Pickles is on, right? That's his real name, though.
Onion.
Nickname?
Onion.
Jarrah.
That's funny.
I bet there's some rude ones on there as well.
Oh, yeah, there are loads.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Some of these, I wonder if people are just making them up or have heard them elsewhere. Giacomo knew a guy whose nickname was the clock. One big hand, one wee hand. Maybe. It's entirely possible.
Oh, what a chance for Motherwell there, eh?
Did you see the clock? Yes, you did, didn't you?
Yeah. Yes. Was it a Solholm header, was it, Mark?
Yep, great ball. In swing and free kick.
Hold on. It's all happening here. Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com. Motherwell are level. Motherwell 1, Aberdeen 1. And of course it's Kevin Van Veen, but he just loves scoring against Aberdeen. It's his fourth of the season against the Dons. And it was deflected, this one. We've got another goal. Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com. Partick Thistle 0, Dundee United 1. And Ian Hark's bullet from 20 yards. Partick Thistle had started brightly. United are in front. Ian Hark's to thank. And Motherwell are level. Kevin Van Veen, he scored some lovely goals against Aberdeen this season. Not quite as lovely, this one, but ooh, deflected, and they all count.
What did I tell you, Gordon?
The saying goes, I honestly don't know. What are you about to pretend that you...
I'm about to pretend that I told you that Van Veen, I fancied him score today, especially after...
Declan Gallagher.
Declan Gallagher, former Motherwell club captain, of course. Mm. Not entirely popular, though, it must be said, amongst Motherwell fans, and that might be an understatement. Mark, if it can be both, it looked a good finish and it was deflected, if both can coexist.
Yeah, well, the way I looked at it, it just looked like it went straight in, but obviously
it was a
slight deflection there. But what about Johnny Hayes here in the corner? Gets caught in the ball. Mugabe doesn't give it up. Van Veen checks inside. It's a bigger deflection. I thought. But
like David Bates' head.
I think they deserve it. They just missed that sitter just a few moments ago. And Van Veen, they're certainly hanging their hat on him.
Well, Van Veen has given Declan Gallagher the full Bruni for the El Hadj Diouf moment.
The Motherwell fans will absolutely love that. Yeah, it's almost like someone's told them that, see if you score, make sure you stick it to Declan Gallagher.
I am waiting to see the next challenge that Declan Gallagher has on Van Veen.
Yeah, neither of them are shy.
He seems to relish at Van Veen, though. Remember the game at Pottodrie? I've seen every game he plays.
One or two tackles flying in. Obviously, that goal has got the pace up a little bit. Yeah. Motherwell fancy it now.
Yeah, Conor Shields is not a known. And this time is that Mark O'Hara, sort of ragdolls someone. I think Scott Brown felt he was in the receiving end of a sore one in front of the dugouts.
Well, Scott Brown, as I say, could hardly complain about Van Veen's celebration, having done it himself to El Hadj Diouf. So,
and you do it when you win and be the pundit.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Dry and sunny in Paisley, but nothing else happening, says Fraser Wisher.
Yeah, Fraser's been a bit quiet.
Who's can that be? Look at it, Fir Park, just along the road. Absolutely miserable there. Clyde have pulled one back. What a game that is. Clyde 1, Dumbarton 3. Rob Jones with the goal.
I think here he goes again. They're showing the rerun of it.
I don't know why he's having a... Because Gallagher's not really involved in that, is he? I think Van Veen and... they might have just had a little...
Oh, it's McCrory, sorry.
Yeah, he did take it. Gordon, I've seen it out of the corner of my eye. He did take a bad one.
You think this will finish 11-11?
Oh, it's getting a bit heated.
Will Graham Alexander remain in the dugout?
Not a chance.
Doesn't often. We've only got one correct answer on that teaser, so remind us of the question. Maybe I could start to give out some clues.
Since 2012, 10 players from out with the UK and Europe have played in and won a Scottish Cup final. Who are they?
Right, here's what we're looking for, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. 6 former Celtic players in there. But one in particular has gone on to play for other clubs in Scotland. You've got one of those who is Scottish, but not by football nationality. And your obscure one comes from the Inverness team that beat Falkirk in 2015. Okay, so I'm trying to just lead you down the path. We've only got one person with all the correct answers. That is the end of Ross McCrory's afternoon, actually. He's gone off. Calvin Ramsey has come on. It was a challenge from Connor Shields.
I was a sore one.
Was there anything untoward? Could play went on. I don't think, I know the referee didn't see anything wrong with it. It was right in front of the dugouts. It would be interesting to see if Stephen Glass shared that.
It's one of these ones, just out of the corner of my eye, I seen it over your shoulder, Gordon, and I thought, oh, that looks a bit sore. And obviously McCrory can't carry on. Be interesting to see that one again. I'd like to see a replay of that.
It's also right in front of the fourth official, though, so you would like to imagine that if there was something wrong with it, he tells the ref, and on we go.
So Calvin Ramsey, last two games, been subbed by Aberdeen.
Strange one that here.
Yeah.
How, you know, just a few weeks ago,
nearly in Serie A.
Yeah. And now he's struggling to get a game. Stephen Glass.
Good chance for Motherwell. Sean Goss just wide. Probably have been the better team, Mark, you'd have to say.
Yeah, I would say so. Since after those opening few minutes where they looked a wee bit over the place.
They probably started brightly before that as well, if that makes sense.
Wee bit of shock when they concede the goal, but they seem to have regrouped, steadied the ship, and yeah, they missed that sitter before Van Veen actually scores, but they certainly look like the team that's most likely to get themselves in front here before half time.
It's a better cup tie than I think we thought it would be.
It's got
all the parts. It's got the fire, the fervour, the animosity.
Apocalyptic conditions.
It's two teams that are desperate for a result to kick their season on. You know what I mean? Two managers. Okay, I don't think Graeme Alexander's under pressure at all, but you've got to start winning games. It's good effort, but you've got to start winning games. And the Cup's got a great opportunity. As I say, the excitement is, who do you get in the next round that keeps you in there? You know you've got another game coming, and a victory maybe gives you that bit of confidence to take any league campaign.
Still only one correct answer on that teaser. Come on, let's do it. 10 players since 2012 out with the UK and Europe have played in and won a Scottish Cup final. What's the one that's been most commonly missed out, producer Callum, would you say? How can we help the good people get towards? Okay, there's one that was in the Hearts team that won 5-1. Is that that game? Yes. And he also played for Kilmarnock. That's the one that people seem to be missing. Very tricky, skillful player. You may remember his surname sounds
skillful player.
Very like something you would dry yourself with when you come out of the bath.
You just drip dry, don't you?
He just shakes.
Or use the hairdryer for your full body.
I've got that as a great clue. Well done.
Have you?
I've pretty much said his second name. Oh, please tell me you don't do that move. Tell me the camera's got that. He just did the old floss.
By the way, I bet you he does do that with the two
legs.
Yeah.
That's no, a lot of Saturday afternoon.
Oh, that's
fun.
Disgusting.
You're the type of guy that would do that. And then talc up. When you get the talc,
you need the talc. Jammies on the radiator.
Don't forget, Wednesday night is bath night. So I've already got to struggle that every Wednesday night I know that whilst we are on air, I know that he's listening in the bath, which is off putting enough. Now that I know what he does when he gets out the bath, it's even worse.
By the way, I've got a confession to make.
I
double dunted. I went last night as well, Friday night.
Two baths in a week. Wow.
Friday night, I was feeling a bit sore after the driving range. So
you're getting old when the driving range.
It was fantastic. Always go 6 o'clock, right? Because I want to hear the boys. Fantastic entertainment for half an hour. Kenny and Hugh. I really thoroughly enjoyed.
Kenny
the show.
Kenny wasn't on last night.
Who was it?
I'm just kidding, because I know you weren't listening.
No, I was. Honestly,
Alloa 1 East 5-2 in the league. Scott Mercer. Alloa having a really poor time of it as well. Lost to Kenny's Falkirk during the week. Right, I think we'll need to round it off. I think we will need to round it off, I'm afraid. So let's do it.
Okay.
The first half teaser with the ScottishSun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Since 2012, 10 players from out with the UK and Europe have played in and won a Scottish Cup final. They are David Witherspoon, Tommy Rogic, Diego Laxalt, Ishmael Soro, Nir Beaton, Edward Oferi, Effie Ambrose, Ryan McGowan, Mehdi Tau, and Emilio Izaguirre.
Tell me you did not get some of those tough ones and missed out Nir Beaton.
Yeah, we did.
I got none. Dad's got them all.
I think there's a bit there's a bit of controversy there, I think, because we always bang on about football nationality and Israel play under the UEFA banner, don't they? So they, you know, they, I know that, but if we're talking about football nationality, I think you've upset some people on that. Just saying, producer Callum, for next time.
He doesn't care, don't they, either, one up.
They are indeed. Right, well done if you got it right. We do now have a podium. We got there just in the end. Must have been you with that clue. When I said it's something you'd use in the bath, Roger Hanna says you shouted out Jimmy Luther. It was Medi Towel, just in case you hadn't clicked. Mikko, well done to you. Third place, the old bronze medal. Connor Rowley, well done to you, Connor, in the silver medal position. But the winner, the only guy who had it right for quite some time, was Token Jester. Well done. We'll have Who Am I later on, which is equally as difficult, by the way. That one is really tough. Really, really tough. So we'll see how you get on. Will we get any late drama? Don't forget, we're still looking for your nicknames, the best nicknames you've ever heard. Even if they're not football related, we'll take the lot. It would be nice if you had heard some at a football game or referring to a football player. But even if you've just heard one, I mean, this is, well, I hope this is true, because I feel like I've heard this before, and maybe it's just become widely used, but it's one of the greats on Twitter. Alex says, our small maintenance man in work, he's small and he's short of hair, so we call him Gianni DeVito.
Yeah, good.
I like that. Very good.
Stephen Pearson, you always remind me that he ran past me. His nickname was The Knife. You ever
was
heard
it?
That? Yeah, The Knife. Yeah, Celtic. When I arrived at Celtic, it was The Knife. Alan Thompson, no, the older crew up was there before me, and Neil Lennon, The Knife, because I think it was because he cut through defences.
That's rubbish.
I know. I think that was the reason. Why is it called The Knife?
Wow.
Yeah. We called him Piro.
Well, that makes sense. That's quite boring as well, I must admit.
It was.
Graham Hume, I had a mate whose nickname was Swanee, so his boy was called Signet. Oh, that's good as well. I'm happy with that.
Daz doesn't get that.
Liam Donnelly's come close for Motherwell. What a chance that would have been to take a lead into the break. 3 minutes added on at the end of the first half. Close range as well from Liam Donnelly. He misses the target, and Aberdeen stay level. A big chance for Motherwell to go
Motherwell
in front.
They should be in front. I think they've played quite well, like we were saying there. Since they lost the goal, played quite well. Took the game to Aberdeen. Aberdeen have been dreadful though. Even when they've actually got up into the final third, dreadful. Motherwell should be in front.
Matthew Maycock's tweeted he's not happy about that Israel thing. He says they play in Europe, but he's not backing down. He's doubling down, as Lemmy would say. He's not backing down, producer Callum. That is a huge miss from Liam Donnelly. Yeah. Motherwell should be in front.
How has Motherwell not scored there? Incredible miss. I cannot believe that was actually harder to put by the post.
All these times that you're spending watching them at training, do they do two-yard finishing drills?
No, it was a finishing drill I watched the other day, Gordon, and I've got to say, the people in the car park were under severe. I don't know how he's missed that.
You know, sometimes you use these phrases and they're overused, a bit cliche, but it is harder to miss, I think, that one, because he's right in the middle of the goal and he almost drags it across his body.
Yeah.
Anyway. Enough of that. Let's go to Tynecastle. It's half time there. Dave Galloway.
Hearts 0, Livingston 0 at the interval. You can maybe hear Why Does It Always Rain on Me being played over the PA system, which is very apt because it's torrential rain here at the moment. But it's been a pretty decent cup tie in the first half. End to end from the first blast of the referee's whistle. Anderson got clean through for the visitors, but Gordon saved well. Anderson tested the Hearts keeper again after cutting in from the right, getting past Suter and letting fly from 20 yards. I think we may have had a slight power issue with the stadium there. Anderson got clean through for the visitors, but Gordon saved well. Anderson tested the Hearts keeper again after cutting in from the right, getting past Suter and letting fly from 20 yards. At the other end, Stryek had to look lively to keep out a low, well-struck drive from Mackay from outside the box, and a close-range effort by Sims, who'd cleverly created an opening for himself. The home side were dominating possession, but to their supporters' frustration, weren't making it count against the well-organised Livy side. A really good Hearts passing move saw Mackay send Cochrane in on goal, but a brilliant late tackle from Devlin deflected the drive to safety. But Livy looking confident as they handle their host's pressure and looking dangerous coming forward as well. The halftime whistle greeted by a chorus of boos from the Jambos faithful. It's Hearts 0, Livingston 0.
Could Dave Galloway be in for a long evening at Tynecastle? It's a nice place to spend your evening. We've had a late one of these in the first half.
Goal flashes with AspireGlasgow.com.
And it's Motherwell 2, Aberdeen 1. The Fir Park side have deserved the lead. It was terrible defending, terrible goalkeeping, but Connor Shields doesn't care. He pokes it home from 4 yards out, and it's Motherwell 2, Aberdeen 1. It's half time at St Mirren, Fraser Wishart.
Ted Simon 1, Kelty Hearts 0. Expected a bit more from this game, to be honest. Pretty tame so far. St Mirren, though, in complete control, but very few chances at either end. Really slow start to the game, but Kelty settled quite well and almost took the lead in 12 minutes. Really good work on the right hand side by Callum Higginbotham. Got to the byline, cut back into the 6 yard box. Met by Joe Cardo, but he was denied by a great block by Joe Shaughnessy to stop his goal bound shot inside the 6 yard box. That was a wake up call for Saints. They responded with an opener on 15 minutes. Marcus Fraser crossed to the back post. Richard Tate, the other fullback, with a downward header. A really well saved by Darren Jimison at his post, but the ball rebounded up in the air and was headed into the empty net by Alex Greave from 2 yards. Jordan Jones had a right start to the game, causing problems down the left. They couldn't find that key final cross. Somebody's balls into the box though, only stopped by a great last gasp defending by Forster unaware. But after that, little else happened in the game. Saints with plenty of possession. Kelty just happy to drop off and allow St Mirren the ball, but very little happening in the Kelty box. No tempo to Saints play and little in attack from Kelty at all. Saints knocking the ball wide side to side, but now not going forward in any ways whatsoever. Alec Greave cutting from the left, 20 yard shot comfortably saved by Jimison. Ronan then blasted well over from 25 yards, and it was really a sign of the first half. Jim Goodwin clapping his hands, trying to get a bit more life into his team, and then a Joe Cardle trundler, first time Kelty been in the box about half an hour, from 20 yards into Anik's hands. And just mentioning his last couple of efforts just shows how few attempts on goal there actually were. A little entertainment on show. Next goal will settle it for St Mirren. They've been top so far, but Kelty not really in the game, but they'll quite fancy their chances if they can get that next goal, because they're not out of this game yet. Half time, St Mirren 0, Kelty Hearts 0.
Half time at Fir Park, it's been a cracker, David Friel.
It has been a cracker, Gordon. Half time, Motherwell 2, Aberdeen 1. I've just about drawn breath. As you said, this has been a proper cup tie, and Motherwell now have 1 foot in the last eight after Connor Shields put them ahead just seconds before the break. What a game it's been. Motherwell actually the ball in net within 40 seconds after Joe Efford broke through and finished off well. It was ruled out for offside. It did look extremely tight, but Aberdeen took advantage of that layoff and they took the lead in the third minute. Ross McCrory curled in a brilliant cross and Christian Ramirez found space to head into the top corner. It was poor marking but a great finish for the Americans' 15th goal of the season. Ramirez looked really lively, but he couldn't repeat the finish when he's played through in 10 minutes. Motherwell keeper Liam Kelly was stranded, but the striker's lob missed the target. Motherwell come back into the game from then. They had a couple of efforts. Kevin Van Veen's free kick was deflected over. Connor Shields headed wide, but they got the deserved equaliser in 34 minutes through that man, Van Veen. Beavis McGabby won the ball and Van Veen's curling shot deflected off David Bates into the corner. The striker has now scored 4 against Aberdeen this season and celebrated in front of former Motherwell captain Declan Gallagher. Tempers, it was fair to say, were running high and there was a bit of a rammy. Both players were booked. Aberdeen then lost Ross McCrory to injury as Motherwell finished the half well on top. Sean Goss was unlucky with a low shot. Liam Donnelly then missed an absolute sitter from close range, but Shields then pounced in injury time after Aberdeen failed to deal with a Goss corner. He fired home from close range and Motherwell will now look to finish the job in the second half, but it's a big second 45 for Stephen Glass as pressure mounts on the Aberdeen manager. Half time at Fir Park, Motherwell 2, Aberdeen 1.
Where else have we not been? I think we've been everywhere, have we? No, Roger Hanna, what's it been like there?
It's been good, Gordon. Half time at Fir Hills, Partick Thistle 0, Dundee United 1. And if Ian McCall felt a sense of injustice that the Jags were knocked out of the cup at Tannadice last year, he will be seething at half time because his Championship side really have been the better side. They dominated the first half hour. They had chances to break the deadlock, and then out the blue they fell behind to an absolute howitzer after 34 minutes by Ian Hearts. It was Thistle from the start, really. Scott Tiffany especially, he'd scored the goal for Thistle at Tannadice last season. Again, he was tormenting United. He started on that left hand side, just in the area between the right wing back Liam Smith and the right centre back Callum Butcher, causing all sorts of problems. He cut in on his right foot after 20 minutes, curled one that was headed for the far corner, tipped over the bar by United goalkeeper Benji Seagrass. 3 minutes later, the former United striker Brian Graham threatened with a shot that was somehow smuggled off the line by United centre-half Ryan Edwards. Tiffany again threatened moments later. He was tugged back by Liam Smith, and that produced the only booking in the first half from referee John Beaton. It was all thistle at this stage. United's front two of Tony Watt and Mark McNulty really being well marshalled by Lewis Mayo and Kevin Holt, and then out of the blue after 34 minutes the visitors took the lead. Didn't really seem much danger. Robbie Crawford looked to have time on the edge of his own box to clear the ball, but he made a hash of the clearance that fell invitingly for Hearts, and a man who has made a habit of scoring big goals for the Terriers this season, including an equaliser at Celtic Park, a winner in a Dundee derby. He absolutely lashed the shot past goalkeeper Jamie Seddon and in to the back of the net. That seemed to set the Jags back on their heels. It stunned them. It stunned the home crowd as well. And United looked to get it a second before the break on Mari Niskanen threatening down the left-hand side. But Thistle, well, they just won't believe they're behind it at break, Gordon. It's Partick Thistle now, and United won.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half-time scores in the Scottish Cup fifth round. Hearts 0, Livingston 0, Motherwell 2, Aberdeen 1, Partick Thistle 0, Dundee United 1, St Mirren 1, Kelty Hearts 0, and Annan Athletic Rangers is a 5:30 kick-off. We do have lower league games. Championship today, Kilmarnock 0, Dunfermline 0, Morton 0, Queen of the South 0. In League 1, it's Airdrie 2, Montrose 1, Alloa 1, East Fife 2, Clyde 1, Dumbarton 3, and Cove Rangers 0, Queen's Park 0. The English Premier League early game finished. Man United 1, Southampton 1. At half-time, it's Brentford 0, Crystal Palace 0, Everton 2, Leeds 0, Watford 0, Brighton 1, and Norwich Man City is a 5:30 kick-off. The second halves in the Scottish Cup are coming next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
At Byers Volkswagen, we've been family-owned since 1897, built on trust, driven by innovation. And now, buying your next Volkswagen is easier than ever. Shop online, customize your deal, and finalize everything from home. Just stop by to pick up the keys. It's that simple.
Drive home a new 2026 Volkswagen Tiguan S for $286 for 36 months with $24.99 due at signing.
The next generation shops online, and we're driving with them at ColumbusVolkswagen.com or visit us by the airport.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 4/30/2026.